Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Beautiful warm day in Eastern Iowa. Hope you're enjoying it out there. If not, hopefully you can later. Welcome to the Gym Class. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann today, sitting in for Scott Unash, who will be returning on Thursday as he's catching a couple rounds of golf down south, and hopefully he's doing well. Didn't sound too good last night, Kyle. Said it's good on the range, but not on the course.
Uh-oh.
I can relate. Anyway, good show for you coming up today. We're going to talk to Zach Reimer of Bleacher Report. Plenty of things to talk to him about in Major League Baseball. We've got Michigan of the Big Ten, Kyle, going for a College World Series championship tonight. The Wolverines won game one against second-ranked Vanderbilt, 7-4. And I believe it's been 50 years since the Big Ten has won a College World Series championship. There's been a smattering of success from Big Ten teams. Indiana was there a couple, 3 years ago. Did okay. But this is a chance to win a national championship for the Big Ten. Puffing the chest out for the North and maybe a gut punch to those Southern teams who are so dominant in college baseball. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in that regard tonight.
Yeah, and I think what's most interesting to me about that is, you know, as you said, it's been a long time since a Big Ten team was able to do that. But I think that, you know, even further than, you know, the Big Ten, it's a challenge for the Big Ten to be elite in college baseball. I think that's a regional thing, and I think we had somebody point this out on Todd and Alex's show yesterday, where this would be a big step just for Northern baseball in general. Shows these schools can compete.
Goes to show you a team gets hot and it can go a long way, because Michigan did not win the Big Ten tournament championship. Got in one of the last teams to get in the field and has just been on a torrid run through the regionals, super regionals, and now the College Baseball World Series. So I'm going to be very interested to see what happens tonight. The Gym Class sponsored today and every day by Third Base Brewery on Blair's Ferry Road. Just like KGYM, Third Base is locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again. Great for a quick lunch, catch a game after work, or bring the family in for an affordable and delicious meal. Again, Gym Class brought to you by Third Base Brewery on Blair's Ferry Road. Head out there and enjoy yourself, and thanks to Third Base today and every day. The Colonels are back in town. Kyle, 6:35 first pitch against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, Milwaukee Brewers affiliate. The Colonels 2-2 in the second half, of course, wrapped up a playoff berth, late surge by the narrowest of margins in the first half. So chance to get out and enjoy the Colonels. A little later on in the show, we're going to give you a chance to win 4 tickets to the John Deere Classic coming up in July in Silvis, Illinois, the 49th annual John Deere Classic, July 11th through 14. We're giving away tickets today, yesterday, every day this week on the Gym Class, and thanks to the John Deere Classic for that. I think we'll touch on the All-NBA team a little bit, but I want to start out leading up to Zach Reimer's appearance about baseball.
A
situation. Cubs catcher Wilson Contreras and his encounter with Atlanta Braves catcher Tyler Flowers. If you didn't see it or read about it, Contreras protested a strike call from the home plate umpire, a strike 2 call, and had some words with said umpire. Braves pitcher Teheran tried to quick pitch Contreras on the next pitch, and Contreras knocked it over the right field fence. And after the swing, Contreras turns around and apparently says a couple words to Flowers and beats his chest a couple times going around first base. And when Contreras reached home plate, he and Flowers had words. Let me back up. The Contreras protest with the umpire, I think there's some words said between Flowers and Contreras, do your job or whatever it may be. Maybe Contreras said something about framing a pitch. I don't know. But there were words exchanged, and when Contreras got to home plate, there were words exchanged between the two players. To the umpire's credit, they kept it fairly civil. I mean, no pillows were thrown. These are pillow fights in baseball, by the way. Okay. But I watched it a couple times. I didn't have a problem with what Contreras did. Now, he's a 24-year-old, excitable guy who's maybe done a couple things in the past after hitting a home run or knocking a big hit. But I'm of the opinion, and you can weigh in, 319-366-1600, our Hertzien and Stocker Jeweler text line. It's growing on me that baseball needs more excitement, more as long as you don't show up another player or show up another team or disrespect them in some way. And I don't think Contreras did that last night. I really don't. But, well, your thoughts, Kyle.
On that note, real quick, I think you're right. I didn't see Contreras show anybody up. And I know some people who, you know, don't watch as many Cubs games or aren't as familiar with him, when he hits first base and pounds his chest and points off to the right, he does that every single time where he's pointing at the first base coach. He's not pointing at the Braves dugout, calling them out. What I think this was about was, you were right. It was about a call previous, a strike that Wilson didn't care for. He was talking to the umpire, and they're talking business. Wilson's saying, I didn't like that call. Tyler Flowers, you can see on video, Tyler Flowers at a certain point cocks his head and butts into that conversation. And so if I'm Wilson Contreras at that point, I'm with him. Shut up. I'm talking business with the umpire right here. I don't need you butting into the middle of that. And then if I'm going to poke the next pitch out, I don't know if I would be as mouthy as Wilson was, but I definitely understand why he would. And so it was just kind of a little thing between a couple competitors, and I'm totally with you. I think I didn't see any problem with it. I thought it added a little bit of excitement, and I think baseball could use, a lot more of that. And I just think baseball needs those types of characters to kind of stir things up. And Wilson fills that role, and I love it.
Beyond that, aren't the Cubs an easy target?
The Cubs are a little bit of an easy
target. Cubs are the most popular team in these parts and many parts of the country. Okay, I'll give you that. There's, argument for another day, plenty of fans of other teams. But I think some fans are jealous of the Cubs' popularity, if not success these days. And the Cubs, therefore, are kind of an easy target when something comes up. They have been for years. Way before your time, 50 years ago this year, teams around the league were pissed at Ron Santo. Great third baseman for the Cubs, who after, I think it was a walk-off victory, ran out to left field clicking his heels like two or three times. And Leo DeRocher, the manager, talked to Santo and said, listen, after every home run, you need to do the same thing.
Good.
So around the bases, Santo clicked his heels. And that irked a lot of teams.
I bet it did.
And now we come 50 years later, and whether it's Javi Baez or Wilson Contreras or whoever it may be, I think the Cubs have become an easy target. And in reference to last night, I didn't see much of anything wrong. I mean, again, it's an excitable 24-year-old. He's a damn good catcher. He's got a great arm, good bat. He's going to be a starter, if not a player, in the All-Star game this year. He's really good. Maybe he needs to curb his enthusiasm a little bit, but I didn't see anything wrong last night.
I'm totally with you. And the Cubs are an easy target in the sense of, I can tell that, you know, since the World Series, since things started going right a little bit, you know, it leads to a World Series. And so, you know, we all know that the Cubs, you know, turned a corner here within the last decade or so. Since that happened, you know, there are a lot of people who just hate the Cubs. And it is a little bit of that, you know, I'm not trying to sling arrows, but
jealousy.
Yeah, it is jealousy in the most
because of the popularity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I just think I want to throw out there that things don't always go right for the Cubs anymore. Like we're a little bit past, you know, everything lining up the one year that led to a World Series. They have a lot of stuff go wrong, and so this is just on a little bit of a personal note because I hear it a lot from people who just cannot stand the Cubs. They are not. They're not the perfect team that you all act like they are.
Yeah. Perhaps we'll reset this after talking to Zach Reimer of Bleacher Report. I wanted to throw this out. Just coming down the line, wonderful honor for David Montgomery, the Iowa State All-America running back. He is this year's recipient of the Big 12 Male Sportsperson of the Year Award. The Big 10 or Big 12 started the award in 2000 to recognize student athletes who displayed an extraordinary degree of sportsmanship and/or community service within the conference. The honorees are selected by a media panel. I think that's an award I'd like to get.
Anything that is, you know, Big 12 wide, and it's not football. It's sport, Big 12 sports person. That is a wide pool of candidates there. Yeah, very, really nice award for him there.
Male sports person of the year. Congratulations to David Montgomery. He now of the Chicago Bears. Nick on the text line, 3206. It's not the Cubs that annoy me. It's the obnoxious fans.
It's easy to be obnoxious when things are going well. And again, I think people get a little bit jealous of that. That's several years. And again, that's several years past us.
Is that translating to jealousy of popularity as well? The Cubs fans really that obnoxious more than other fans?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Here's a question. Because the Cubs for a long time were the lovable losers. And they were, even when they were bad for 100 years, they were still a very popular team. And so did they have the hate at that time? You would know better than I do. Did people hate the Cubs when they were so bad?
Because I know. No.
I don't think, is it necessarily the popularity or is it just the fact that there's a little bit of success and, you know, misery loves company. And so if you see any fan base that's having success and you're not, that probably annoys you.
We need to take a break. We're going to bring in Zach Reimer of Bleacher Report, talk more baseball after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Ooh. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow, ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Twins and the Rays, always a tough team to beat anywhere, but especially at Target Field. A three-game series begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Kyle Gibson, Blake Snell. Good pitching matchup for Game 1 on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back, 319 on today's edition of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Again, Scott Unash will return on Thursday. And let me get to one text on the Contreras Flowers situation last night. 7508, this never happens if Flowers keeps quiet. Contreras was talking to the umpire. I like the passion.
And that's totally where I'm at. I've seen Wilson Contreras hit a lot of home runs at this point, and he doesn't whip around and bark at anybody when he does it. And so, you know, not putting it all on Flowers, but I am agreeing that this doesn't become what it did if Flowers keeps his mouth shut when he's talking to the umpire.
Let's ask an expert now. Zach Reimer, Bleacher Report, baseball writer. Thanks for joining us today, Zach.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet. We've been talking about the Contreras situation, for lack of better words, with Tyler Flowers last night. What did you see there?
To be honest, I caught up with it later, and I'm still not entirely sure what happened during that entire situation. So I am not really an expert in this situation, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it was. I think we're in agreement here that it was no big deal. And people get too excited about celebrations anymore, and the fact that the Cubs are doing well, maybe they're an easy target. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from what I read about it, it sounds like it looked a lot more kind of controversial and heated than it actually was. It looked like it was more of a misunderstanding that spiraled out of control. So I shrugged my shoulders. I assume everybody's going to move on. It's just one of those things that happens, and there's that.
One of the contenders in the NL Central with the Cubs and Brewers is the Cardinals. And tough news, Jordan Hicks, a UCL injury. Where do the Cardinals turn now?
It's a good question because they were pretty undermanned in that bullpen in terms of dominant arms, even with Jordan Hicks. So now they're in a situation where they're definitely in the mix for that division crown, but they already had a need for starting pitching before Hicks went down. And now you have potentially a need for a top flight starter and a top flight relief pitcher. And given their situation where they're in contention, but not in the lead, how aggressive do they want to be in terms of solving those needs? It's a difficult situation. I'm looking at the Giants and seeing that they have Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith to rent out. A trade for both of them would fit the Cardinals pretty well, I think, and it could be achievable. So that's one solution. Otherwise, they're going to have to do a whole bunch of shopping for them.
God, how many teams are in search of relief help, Zach?
You know, it's probably a shocking number, given that, you know, the narrative coming into the year was how relief pitchers and, you know, frequent and aggressively using bullpens with the new style of baseball now, and that is backfiring in a significant way this year. Bullpens across the league just have not been very good. As far as how to explain that, I mean, I don't really know yet. We're probably going to need a larger sample size before we can really kind of get into it. But my suspicion is that, you know, what made these guys so special and what made teams move towards bullpens in recent years, so the fact that you could bring these guys in, they would throw 95 to 100 to a couple batters, and that's that. And now it seems like, you know, a good fastball, you know, everybody has one, and because of that, they're not what they used to be anymore. Hitters have adjusted to it. So, you know, now because of that, the true top-notch relievers are going to be in demand on the trade market, and pretty much every contender in the sport needs them. So should be an interesting section of the trade market for sure.
Zach, are the Mets the most unstable franchise in baseball right now?
Right now, at this very moment, yes. At least in terms of teams that were supposed to be good coming into the year. It's night and day compared to what things were like in that organization as of opening day, where they came into the year with all sorts of optimism after the big shopping spree they did in the offseason. And then things started to fall apart about mid-April, and they haven't really recovered since then. And now all the stuff is coming out about, oh, you know, Cody Van Wagenen is apparently managing from home, and Mickey Callaway and Jason Vargas getting into it with a reporter and kind of fumbling their mea culpas about it. I mean, it's unfortunate that this is just kind of a variation on the theme that is LOL Mets that has been going on for, you know, decades at this point. So it's a circus from afar for sure.
You just mentioned both the incidences here that I was going to reference. You know, earlier in the week, you've got Mickey Callaway going after a reporter along with Jason Vargas, but Brody Van Wagenen, you know, he made a trade for Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz, which now looks terrible this season. And yeah, now the report today that he's managing from home. So if you had to choose between Brody Van Wagenen or Mickey Callaway, who's looking worse right now?
Oh, geez. Mickey Callaway has certainly had the more public screw-ups, I'll say that much. But neither of them look pretty good, and the organization as a whole is kind of messy. And if you really want to point fingers, you really want to get down to the base of this, the fact is, as long as the Wilpons have owned the team, it's been pretty much a joke on a running basis for several years. So it kind of starts from the top, and it goes all the way down. So I think the problem kind of starts with them.
Well, a good story for the Mets is Pete Alonso, who the rookie second-round draft pick in 2016, has 27 homers, 61 ribbies. Last year, 36 homers between AA and AAA. Did you see this coming out of Alonso, and how long will it last?
I don't know if I saw this coming. I mean, he's already 12 home runs away from the National League rookie record, and we're not even at the All-Star break, which kind of tells you how hot he's been. I mean, he kind of, going into last season, he wasn't really on that many radars before he busted out with the 36 home runs, like you mentioned. But there was kind of the underlying question of like, okay, this guy is probably more of a slugger than he is a great hitter. So if he gets to the major leagues, are pitchers going to find a way to expose various holes in his swing? And I do think the holes are there. He's not like he's a Joey Votto where he's at the plate, but he's disciplined enough, and anything he gets his bat on is going to go far. And he's proven that he can kind of roll with the punches in terms of adjustments that pitchers are making towards him. So probably not going to be this hot all season, but I think he's done enough to prove that, you know, he's not just some mindless beast at the plate. He can actually hit a little bit.
Zach Reimer of Bleacher Report joining us on the Gym Class today at 3:26. Zach, was that idea of the Rays and Montreal sharing a team a one-day news cycle?
Yeah, I mean, there's some shock value, and it's certainly a novel idea, but, I mean, come on. I mean, it's an I'll-believe-it-when-I-see-it kind of situation, and I don't think we're ever going to see that. It just, from a practical standpoint, from a legal standpoint, it seems like some kind of, you know, desperate negotiating ploy. All I can say is, you know, I do think the Rays deserve a better ballpark, and I would like to see baseball in Montreal again. So maybe it's a doorway into those conversations.
What's happened to the Phillies, Zach?
You know, they were probably overachieving early on in the year, and then injuries start to pile up, especially with Andrew McCutchen going down for the year. That was a huge blow. And now everything is just kind of being exposed. Beyond that, I mean, I would look at them and say, okay, they need more from Bryce Harper. They need more from Jake Arrieta. Aaron Nola has been better recently, but still not what he was last year. This team, I mean, given where they are right now, the only way I think they're going to get out of it is if their alleged stars play like it. And that's something that hasn't really happened for them all season. It really needs to happen down the stretch if they're going to have a chance to catch that Atlanta Braves team, which, especially in June, has been very good and I think can get even better.
You bring up the word alleged stars there, and I've got to ask you, I know you wrote about it recently. Are the Phillies kicking themselves a little bit for inking Bryce Harper for 13 years, especially if you think of it in the, it could have been an either or with Bryce Harper or Manny Machado?
I mean, I think it's only fair if they do have some buyer's remorse. I mean, this is a guy that they essentially paid an MVP price for, the $330 million, you know, effectively expecting to get the Bryce Harper who, when he's going right, is one of the most dominant hitters in baseball and one of the most, you know, outgoing stars that the baseball world has. He hasn't been that. I mean, he's played his part pretty well, but just not, you know, offensively, defensively, he's been really hit or miss. So, yeah, I mean, and you can kind of go back and second guess that would they have been better off signing Manny Machado, putting that third base where they did have a pretty significant need that's only been kind of highlighted even more as Michael Franco's had yet another disappointing season. So, yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, we have to realize that we're only 3 months into a 13-year deal, that things could certainly turn around, but it's not looking so good right now, especially given that they did have a real chance to sign Manny Machado, who was arguably the better player all along. So he's got to – that's how it is.
All right, Zach, full disclosure, I'm a Twins fan. The Cleveland Indians have trimmed the Twins' lead to 7.5 games in the American League Central. A couple reasons for that. Cleveland playing very well, winning eight of its last 10. The Twins scurrying along here about the 500 level, not getting as good a pitching as I did early in the season, not getting the clutch hits. Should I be worried?
I tend to come down on the side of no, just because I don't think the Indians are as complete a team as the Twins are. And I don't just say that based on their records. I mean, to their credit, the Indians have managed to continue pitching well despite injuries to Corey Kluber. Mike Clevenger was out for a while. Carlos Carrasco is going to be gone for possibly the rest of the season. Yet they've continued to be this run prevention machine all year long. So all they really needed is some offense. And that started to come along recently without even Jose Ramirez really getting going. And he's showing signs of breaking out of it. So the Indians are not to be written off, but I'm still a believer when that Twins lineup is fully healthy and fully functional, one of the best in baseball. And the pitching, for the bones are there for a really good pitching staff, and I think they're going to be one of the big buyers at the trade deadline. They have no reason not to be. Pretty deep farm system, obviously a golden opportunity, not just at the division title, but possibly a World Series run. So I do think the Twins are going to get better as the year goes along, whereas the Indians, they kind of have to, given where they are, probably kind of play it out with what they have, which might not be good enough.
Speaking of health, the Yankees are getting healthier. Stanton has returned. Judge has returned. This is a team that getting that lineup back together, and the Yankees, frankly, have done quite well without a lot of these guys in the lineup. You know, the Dodgers considered to be the best team in baseball, rightfully so. By the end of the season, can you see the Yankees rivaling the Dodgers?
The Yankees, I mean, I don't think it's any secret that if they're this good when they have so many injuries, you can't help but wonder how good they might be now that they have Judge and Stanton back, Didi Gregorius. They're going to get Luis Severino and Dellin Betances back at a certain point, one would hope. Coming into the year, this was a team that won 100 games last year, even though it looked like it was a struggle for most of the year. Always looked like they had the potential to be better this year if they stayed healthy. And that's kind of what they are, even though they haven't been healthy. So, yeah, I mean, if you're asking me if a Dodgers-Yankees World Series is a possibility, I'm going to go, yeah. And we're going to go right back to the way things were back in the 40s and 50s in that regard.
Just talking about the Twins there, you mentioned that they, as we approach the trade deadline, they're both going to have the need and the assets in the farm system to make a deal. And I'm curious to ask you, what other teams also have the need and have the firepower? Who might we be looking at making a big move as we approach July?
You can have Snow, okay? You can have him.
Okay, in regards to the trade question, the Houston Astros, if they want to make a big splash, they can. I mean, they already may have what they need for another World Series run, but if they want to go get like a starting pitcher or another relief pitcher or even another slugger, very deep farm system, possibly some financial flexibility there, so they're a team to watch. The Atlanta Braves, I know they signed Dallas Keuchel, but I still think they need a starter. They definitely need a relief pitcher or two. They have a very deep farm system they can put to work. The Dodgers are kind of in the same boat. It's really just a question of whether or not they want to push their budget a little higher, which they absolutely can do. So those three teams in particular, and also keep an eye on the Brewers, not a very deep farm system, but a very competitive owner. And I think they've proven over the last couple of years that they're not afraid to go get pieces that they think they need.
How's your confidence level on the Red Sox grabbing at least a wild card in the American League against, let's say, Tampa Bay and Cleveland?
I think I like them a little bit more than Cleveland. And, the reality is for that second wild card spot, it looks like it's going to be between the Red Sox, the Indians, and the Rangers. Rangers are a great surprise, and they've actually been quite a bit of fun to watch, but a lot of questions on that pitching staff and on that defense. And just, I don't know if the run prevention can keep up with the run production. Whereas the Red Sox, pretty much ever since mid-April, they've been a reliably winning team, not what they were last year, but potential to get better, especially when guys like Nathan Eovaldi come back. Steve Pierce should have a bit more depth with which to tackle the rest of the season.
Zach, what is going to decide the National League MVP race between Bellinger and Yelich?
I'd just give it to have them share it.
Yeah,
they've both been spectacular. I'm just like, I'm co-MVPs all the way here.
And Trout in the American League, right?
He's been so much better than everybody else that, yeah, I don't think it really matters that the Angels are just mediocre this year. I made the reference on Twitter the other day. I'll make it again here. This season is his Sergeant Peppers. It's really something else.
All right, Zach, thanks for all the insight, commentary, whatnot. And you can find more on Bleacher Report or follow him on Twitter. Appreciate you joining us today, Zach.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
You're welcome. Zach Reimer, Bleacher Report, joining us on the Gym Class, talking a lot of baseball. Kyle, let's go to a break. Should we do the John Deere tickets now? I think that's a good time. I don't make many snowmans, but I make enough sixes on the golf course. So let's take caller six, and you're going to win four tickets, any day passes, and a one-day parking pass to the 49th John Deere Classic, the TPC Deer Run in Silvis. Tournament dates are July 11th through the 14th. And you can pick up that package right now. Caller number 6, 319-366-1600. Be back in a minute.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Hairball will rock the ballpark with the Cedar Rapids Colonels on Saturday, July 6th. Featuring dead-on recreations of Kiss, Motley Crue, AC/DC, Twisted Sister, Van Halen, and many more. This show starts at 7:30, and tickets are on sale now for Hairball with opening act Catfish Murphy playing at Veterans Memorial Stadium on July 6th. Brought to you by media partners 94.1 KRNA and C102.9. Visit Colonels.com and get your tickets now to party at the park with Hairball.
Ford Pass. Everything you need to keep moving right in the palm of your hand. Now you can earn points to use toward flexible complimentary maintenance when you buy or lease a new Ford and sign up for rewards. Plus, use the app to access roadside assistance. You'll even earn exclusive Ford Pass rewards just for maintaining your vehicle. Only Ford Pass combines roadside assistance, Ford Pass rewards, and now when you buy or lease a new Ford, earn points you can use toward flexible complimentary maintenance. Ford Pass, built to keep you moving. Built Ford proud. Visit your participating Ford dealership to find out about how you can earn complimentary maintenance on every new Ford.
Roadside assistance is included for certain Ford owners and available to everyone for a per service fee. Ford reserves the right to change program details without obligations. Visit your participating dealer or FordPassRewards.com for program rules and restrictions. Ford Pass, compatible with select smartphone platforms, is available via a download.
When tracking the domestic dust bunny, you commonly find them hiding under wardrobes next to lost socks.
Don't move too suddenly or they'll scurry off.
What's utterly fascinating about the Dust Bunny is that although they are not actually sentient creatures, when they hear that Geico not only saves people money, but also has a 97% customer satisfaction rating, it's obvious to them you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Oh no, it's the Dust Bunny's only natural predator. Run along, Dust Bunnies, run along.
O'Reilly Auto Parts offers O'Rewards points in-store and online. Earn points on everything from replacement parts to tools and accessories. And for every 150 points collected, you'll get a $5 reward. Earn points any way you shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Takeru Kobayashi, Joey Chestnut, two record-setting champions.
And they are underway. It's eat all you can in 12 minutes.
We were pushing each other to limits that neither one of us thought we were going to go to.
We had a great rivalry. There's nothing like it.
What if I told you there was even more beef behind the scenes?
I didn't expect the rivalry to end the way it did.
The Good, the Bad, the Hungry. Next Tuesday at 8 p.m. on ESPN.
The annual hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July. It doesn't get anything better than that. God, I hate hot dogs, but love watching it. Welcome back to the gym class. Coming up on 3:40 on this beautiful warm Tuesday in eastern Iowa. We're coming to you on 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, 106.3 FM, or streaming. You can go to our website, kgymradio.com. And get all our programming at that website. Brian in Cedar Rapids is going to the John Deere Classic. Don't know whether Brian's ever been before, but he will enjoy it. That's a guarantee, a chance to see Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson, defending champion Michael Kim, and so many other very, very good golfers on the PGA Tour. By the way, tickets are also on sale now for this year's fourth annual charity concert benefiting the Bonus Fund. It's a concert features Dustin Lynch on Wednesday, July 10th, the day before the tournament begins, at the Rust Belt in East Moline. Go to the John Deere Classic or the Rust Belt to find out more information on that concert. Again, John Deere Classic tickets available the rest of the week here on KGYM, the tournament coming up July 11th through the 14th. Mentioned Michigan trying to wrap up a College World Series title tonight against second-ranked Vanderbilt. Michigan winning 7-4 in the opener of that best-of-three series last night. Should Vanderbilt prevail tonight, there'll be a Game 3 on Wednesday. Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, goes like this, Kyle. Is it okay to root for Michigan tonight? Yes or never? Thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Do you get behind the Big Ten banner or you say, no khakis for me?
Where I'm rooting for Michigan. And I think you are too.
Yeah.
Yes.
A great story. Doesn't happen very often in the Big Ten, and it'll be as I said, a gut punch to those Southern and Western teams who play baseball 11 and a half months out of the year. So that would be a great story. We're going to revisit the Wilson Contreras-Tyler Flowers situation from last night. Maybe you're just tuning in. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but Kyle, you're much more of a NBA fan than me. I noticed the all NBA teams came out, and just one team, and the members of it are the Greek Freak Giannis, the only MVP in league history whose name nobody can pronounce, last name anyway. He of the Milwaukee Bucks. James Harden, Houston. Steph Curry, Golden State. Paul George, Oklahoma City. And Jokic from Denver. I mean, I looked at that and said, I have to do some Kevin Durant's not on this team. I kind of understand LeBron James because he only played 50-some games. And he didn't play for a very good team. And not sure. Well, he was in the top. Had he qualified, he would have been in the top 10 in scoring in the league. The NBA get it right with those five guys?
I think the NBA teams a lot of times do a good job of not just giving awards for name value. And that's why you see LeBron on the third team. You're exactly right. LeBron was never going to make the first team, having only played 50 games. But I think Kevin Durant's a really good example because looking up and down this list, you know, Steph Curry and James Harden, definitely the two best, most dominant guards in all of basketball, so you're not going to take them off. Giannis is the MVP, so you're not going to take him off. You need a center, and Jokic is the best center, so you're not taking him off. Really, the only one that is possibly questioned is Paul George over Kevin Durant. But, you know, Paul George, 28 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, or 8 rebounds per game, 4 assists on 43 from the floor, 38 from beyond the arc. And then Kevin Durant, 26, so 2 points less, 2 rebounds less, and 1 assist more on similar shooting numbers. So, I mean, it's really close, but Paul George was the primary scorer. Russell deferred. I mean, deferred is a funny word when you're talking about Russell Westbrook, but Russell deferred to Paul George as a scorer this year. And Kevin Durant, you know, for better or for worse, is kind of a three-headed co-top scorer on the Warriors. So that's maybe the one thing that you might be able to debate is KD and Paul George. But no, for the most part, I think they got it right.
319-366-1600, our Hurtine and Stocker Jeweler text line and our phone line. Yeah, is there a second and third team as well?
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Yep. Kyrie and Damian Lillard are your second team guards with Kawhi and Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid as your center.
Embiid averaged damn near 30, didn't he?
Yep, good player. And although this came up, I tried to say this a few times on my big boards during the playoffs. Anybody not familiar with the Nuggets, you know, I know they're not on TV a lot. They don't have a huge superstar that, you know, that gets them on those TNT night games or anything like that. But Nikola Jokic is awesome. He's 7 feet tall, 250 pounds, and he passes like Ben Simmons. And, you know, everybody says Ben Simmons is a great talent, 6'10 point guard. Nikola Jokic is taller than Ben Simmons, way heavier. Nikola Jokic is a better point guard than Ben Simmons. Yeah, I said it. And then the third team, you've got Russell Westbrook and Kemba as your third team guards, Blake Griffin and LeBron as your forwards, and Rudy Gobert as your center.
I mean, that third team can beat a lot of teams.
So can the second team.
Interesting. I thought I'd get your perspective on that and anyone else's. It's just kind of weird when some of the faces of the game don't make, you know, the first team, like Durant, like LeBron James and whatnot. But I get it with James. Durant, I kind of do too. So let's just give him a pass this time, okay?
We'll do that.
Okay. Back to the matter of Wilson Contreras and Tyler Flowers, and I don't want to spend you know, an inordinate amount of time on this. But again, if you're just tuning in, we address this at the top of the show. I want to give you a chance to weigh in what you thought of the situation. Again, Contreras objected to the umpire of a called second strike. There was a short exchange of some kind between Flowers, the Braves catcher, and Contreras. The very next pitch, Contreras hits it out of the park and immediately drops his bat, says a couple things to Flowers. Contreras rounds first, beats his chest a couple times, looking at the Braves dugout, gets to home plate, and Flowers and Contreras exchange words. Again, I thought the umpires did a great job diffusing it. Flowers went over and talked to Joe Maddon. Contreras, you know, no punches were thrown or anything like that, no scuffle, maybe a few words. I think I've weighed in, you've weighed in, is this is, shouldn't be a big deal anyway. Is it a big deal to you? 319-366-1600. Could Contreras overstep his bounds? Should he keep his mouth shut on balls and strikes? Should he just brush off Flowers and not worry about it? Or do you like the emotion that Contreras showed? And we've already gotten one text the texter liked Contreras's passion about this. I'm going to restate that more of the opinion these days that baseball needs more emotion, maybe not more controversy, but more emotion. Allow players to show more emotion on the field. You know, there's one thing about, you know, act like you've been there before. The same token, you know, there can be exciting points in a game. You know, a big hit, a walk-off, a big strikeout, no matter what it may be, I'd like to see a little more emotion in the game. We go to the phones, Kyle?
Yeah, we've got Ryan in Cedar Rapids here.
Ryan, how are you? What do you got on your mind?
Good. I was just going to say, when it comes to baseball, you know, you got two guys both competing against opposite teams. They're going to have temperament flare, and people are going to call balls and strikes and complain. And that's just part of baseball.
Thanks very much, Ryan. Appreciate it. And I'd agree with that. You know, the way the strike zones are nowadays, batters and really catchers could argue pitches on every bat. I've seen it. I watch almost all the Twins games. The strike zone is so inconsistent. You know, there was pitches, you know, two nights ago that were an inch or two outside that were being called strikes regularly. And I think players need to adapt.
We all know that players are going to argue it, and we all, as fans, we all know that umps are going to make bad calls, and so, yeah, we're going to see those arguments. But along, you know, for that exact reason, I think Tyler Flowers is a Major League Baseball player, too. He stands in the batter's box, too, and I'll bet he's argued balls and strikes before. And so I think I'm really falling on the side of, in this moment, Tyler Flowers needs to butt out. And you know, it's not like Wilson Contreras is, you know, setting up a tea party or anything, or even wasting a whole lot of time. You know, he's in the box. He's talking to the ump for a second. Stay out of it. You know, this whole thing, like I said earlier, Wilson Contreras has hit a lot of home runs, and it is not part of the routine to turn around and bark at the opposing catcher. That Tyler Flowers brought that on, and that created the situation.
But it's possible Contreras, you know, in talking to the umpires, hey, this guy framed the pitch. That wasn't a strike. And then Flowers pipes up and said, well, you just do your job or whatever. On the text line, Joel, 7733, I totally agree. Depends what Flowers said to Contreras. In my opinion, vice versa.
True. True. If Contreras happened to loop Flowers in or bring his name into it and allege that he was framing, then maybe that would be the one thing that would justify Flowers getting involved, is if Wilson said his name and brought him into it. But barring that, I see no role for Flowers in that conversation.
Ryan and Walford on the text line. Flowers needs to keep his mouth zipped. Wilson's issue was with the umpire and not with Flowers. Once Flowers opened his mouth, he was fair game to get chirped at.
That's right.
All right, do we have that settled?
I think so.
3:52 on the Gym Class. Tonight coming up, first game of the series, the Twins and the Tampa Bay Rays, or are they? No, they're the Rays. 7 p.m., 107.5 FM. Let's go to a break, and we'll put a bow on this show after this.
The Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger is one of McDonald's most popular burgers in Spain. To try one, you'd have to reprogram your GPS,
recalculate it,
go to the airport, leave your car, buy a plane ticket, land in Madrid, and go to McDonald's.
Bienvenido a McDonald's.
Or you could hang that next left and get to your neighborhood McDonald's now. Because for a limited time, the juicy Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger and other worldwide favorites are here. Around the world is now around the corner at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Twins and the Rays, always a tough team to beat anywhere, but especially at Target Field. A three-game series begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Kyle Gibson, Blake Snell. Good pitching matchup for Game 1 on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back to the Gym Class. Last few minutes on Tuesday's show. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Scott Unash will return on Thursday and fill us in on all the birdies and bogeys that he made during his trip down south. Maybe the birdies, not the bogeys. I don't know. But Scott will return on Thursday and looking forward to that. Mentioned College World Series Game 2. Michigan and Vanderbilt, the Wolverines can wrap up the College World Series championship tonight. That game, first pitch at 6 o'clock. We have a poll question at kgymradio.com brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Is it okay to root for Michigan tonight? Yes or never? And thanks to Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Right now, it's 50-50. It's okay to root for Michigan or never root for Michigan. Different circumstances tonight. Michigan trying to win a World Series for the Big Ten and the first time in so many years. Mention the Colonels are back at home tonight. 6:35 against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, an affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers. And you got a big, big guy on the bump tonight for the Colonels.
Yeah, a guy I'm honestly not all that familiar with. His name's Kaiwei Tang. He signed with the Twins last year, $500,000 signing bonus as an international free agent. But he's a big guy. He's only 20 years old, 6'4", 260 pounds. He's 2-0 in his early career with the Colonels, and in 14 innings has 18 strikeouts. So, again, I not all that familiar with him, but he profiles as a guy who could be pretty interesting.
Good chance for you to go out and take in the Colonels tonight. It'll be a beautiful night at the ballpark, Veterans Memorial Stadium, a perfect game field. Tomorrow on the show, Phil Miller of the Minneapolis Star Tribune going to join us, talk about those first-place Twins, again, in action tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. Phil will talk about the team and where it's headed. And then Chris Liss of rotowire.com, he'll answer your fantasy baseball questions and more. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now